This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Local experts answering your questions. Call 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Now, Smart Money on 104.5 WOKV. Here's your host, Hank Madden, Mike Ellis, and Corey Schrader.
Jacksonville, it is Saturday morning live on this beautiful Valentine's Day weekend that I hope, guys, you did not forget that special lady in your family. If you did, you can make it up today by increasing the value of what you should have done. That's just food for thought. Anyway, I'm Hank Madden.
I'm Mike Ellis.
And Corey Schrader.
Welcome to Smart Money. And by the way, all you listeners, you can tune in to our website at smartmoney.com and get more information up to date on us. Financial news?
You mean Madden Advisory?
What did I say?
You said smartmoney.com.
Well, change two.
To be continued.
That's Madden. At least I remembered.
Yes.
All right? Smartmoney.com.
Madden Advisory.
See, I'm so hooked in the
Smart
Money.
Looking out the window. It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And Princess and I will share our Valentine's dinner today that she has no knowledge of other than she got to select the menu. But anyway, get us at MaddenAdvisory.com.
There we go.
There it is.
Okay. All of you guys and gals joining us for the first time, we hope that you can certainly stay with us for the full show today. And as always, our regular listeners, a very special welcome to you guys and gals who always tune us in at MaddenAdvisory.com. No comments?
Well,
I am very grateful for you and your numbers ever increasing. The show, what is it about? Two different things. We're going to bring you up-to-date financial information, but in a uniquely different way. We will take the events of today, whether national, international, or global, and bring them to you in your home so you can better understand how they will impact you, your lives, your family, your business, and make more informed decisions. Also of great importance, we are a Christian-based radio show. Our firm, Madden Advisory, is a Christian-based firm, and we try to lead our lives along the principles of Christ Jesus. Folks, this is not to tell you that we're here to flaunt our religion as much as so many of the liberals I have heard say that's their attempt to downplay the significance. A life without Christ in it is going to be, or God, is a life without a moral rudder. And we wonder, why do we have all these issues and problems and hatred today? Folks, put Christ back in your life, and for some reason, they seem to disappear. More tolerance and acceptance will come about. And we're living in increasingly very violent times. I saw today where some extremist took a Republican registration tent and went into it, tore up the material, pushed the people out of it, threw the table down, ripped their banner down, ripped the American flag down, then went up and stomped on it and spit on it. I'm afraid I would have had to take issue at that point. You know, freedom of speech is his right to be violent with the flag, and mine is right to be violent with him. You know, equal strokes for
equal
each folk.
Folks. Yep.
So anyway, I don't know that, but that certainly would. He has the right to do that, and we fought to give him that right. It's so unfortunate that they're so damn stupid they don't understand just how lucky they are that they can do that. Go to some other countries and see what happens. Anyway, topics today. This has been flowing around in Congress, the new budget that President Trump brought out. So I thought that I would take a shot at this budget and what is really happening in the hypocrisy of the socialist liberal left. you have for Did You Knows, and boy, did I blow it on this one.
Not all your fault. I didn't think of it either. So we'll be looking at some Did You Knows around Singles Awareness Day, also known as Valentine's Day.
Singles Awareness Day?
Yeah, that's actually a thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. Not the same thing. Today is Singles Awareness Day. It's the day after Valentine's Day.
Okay, well, apparently that's a common misconception then, because everything...
Yeah, Valentine's Day is just sad if you got nobody.
Okay, dokie.
We need to play that song at the break.
Well, I do have a tidbit of information about Washington's birthday, though certainly for those that respect and care about this country and how we got here, they'll raise the hair on the back of your neck, nape of your neck.
Oh, what's that?
We'll share it later.
Well, I was reading it, but obviously you weren't paying any attention.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
We're burning air.
Did you know? Okay, gotcha. So let's talk about the markets. So as I wasn't here last week, I got some pretty updating news since the week before. So let's go ahead and jump in on it and talk about the Kung Flu. All right. So when we look at just the stocks as we get into the second week or third week
Kung
of February.
Flu?
The Kung Flu. It's almost as good as sick and sour chicken. So, it's all good.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, so stocks recorded a second week of solid gains as investors seem to grow a little bit more confident that they're starting to contain the Kung Flu. Actually, they have a new name for it. It's called COVID-19. And Powell actually came out and said that there's some encouraging data that stabilization was actually there, which, again, helped the market move a little bit higher. When we actually look into how the market did, it was a little bit mixed this week. Economic signals were a little bit mixed, particularly in labor market, although I don't think it's a negative thing, as job openings had fallen sharply in December and reached their lowest level in 2 years, and weekly jobless claims actually remained at their near-decade lows, so not necessarily a negative thing.
Yeah, but that was because more people entered the workforce.
That's what I was saying, yeah. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. Pandemic fears actually have been playing a role, and people are still a little fearful, so they're being very defensive, and Treasury yields did reach their record low this week. 30-year bonds dropped to 2.06, which is pretty incredible. When we look at what I was getting at earlier about the difference between the last 2 weeks, so when I was here, the Dow was negative 1%. It's now 2 weeks later, and the Dow is up 3%. S&P is up 5%, and the Nasdaq's almost up 9%. So volatility is in the air.
Look for some profit-taking.
Oh, yeah.
It'll keep bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, it'll keep going back and forth, and as we get new information. And then the other thing with this whole coronavirus issue is now the stipulation on how they actually credit it is they're not actually taking x-rays now. They're just saying if you have symptoms, you're technically part of the group. So as soon as wind got out of that, it changed the markets too. So,
well, super. Okay. The budget and who is trying to take what away from whom? Well, the White House released its 2021 fiscal year budget proposal past week, and it's amusing to hear those who have criticized the Trump administration for trillion-dollar deficits. Now they sit there and howl about the plans to slow spending growth. Before they wanted more, now they're complaining because it's spending less. That's right, a bipartisan spending blowout is a reality in the Trump era, which most conservatives don't like that increase in the spending. Well, the budget, while it is a political document, and frankly, that probably won't even happen, even if the president wins a second term. And we'll cover why in just a second. Republicans and Democrats last year cut a spending deal that kicked appropriations decisions past the November election. So the White House budget, for all practical purposes, is irrelevant this year. The budget proposes to spend $4.83 trillion, and we need to cut back or don't need to cut back? Whoa. In fiscal 2021, that's up 21% from 2017 when Mr. Trump took office. Nearly all of the projected spending cuts are in the out years, as they like to say in Washington. Spending on non-defense discretionary programs would decline by about 2% annually over the next decade, while defense would rise a mere 1.3% a year. And this is progressive outrage. The Trump administration is brazenly inflicting savage multi-billion dollar cuts, Pelosi proclaimed. Not quite. Entitlement spending is projected to rise by 54% over the next decade, more than twice as fast as inflation, while discretionary spending stays essentially flat. The budget would also increase IRS funding, that warms the cockles of our heart, by $15 billion over 10 years, which supposedly would yield $79 billion in tax revenue. And sure, and this will give us a balanced budget around the corner. Well, no, it really won't. Mr. Trump, though, is promising not to touch Social Security or Medicare benefits. The budget also does propose some more ambitious reforms, such as converting Medicaid's open-ended funding into the states. This would be block grants, and they have no chance, though, of getting this passed in the House, since the grants would be imposing work requirements for most public assistances, although more states are piling on to force Congress to change that. The White House also proposes common sense reforms, such as consolidating 29 K-12 education programs into a block grant that would give states and local school districts more spending flexibility. Mr. Trump also strikes a contrast with free college progressives by trying to tame the $1.5 trillion federal student loan beast. The budget proposes limiting how much graduate students and parents can borrow, eliminating special loan forgiveness for public servants, and consolidating the menagerie of other income-based repayment plans for, you ready, $150 billion in savings. The budget would reduce federal off-balance sheet liabilities by increasing premiums for the pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. Folks, this is important for those that have pensions, because when the pension goes bankrupt, then they step up to the plate, although the tragedy is I think there's only like 40 cents on the dollar that they actually have to cover. Now this is project the program is projected to go broke by 2025. It would guarantee the fees that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac charge mortgages. Why? Well, this would be helping and level the playing field with the private industry. Also noteworthy is the administration's proposal to replace, and boy, I just wish they'd cancel the whole dadgum thing, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's automatic funding draw from the Federal Reserve with discretionary appropriations approved by Congress. Right now, no one has anything to say over how much money that bureau actually gets, and all they have to do is go to the feds and say, I want more money. This would make the Bureau more politically accountable, though we'd also like to see, and frankly, a single director replaced with a bipartisan commission. You can't fire the director, even the president can't, unless you can prove that they had wrongdoing. Defense spending would fall as a share of GDP to 2.2% in 2030 from 3.2% this year. This is close to the 2% that NATO requires members countries to spend, and not enough to replace the Pentagon's aging weapons, though. This trend also reverses President Trump's good work in correcting Obama's erosion in the U.S. defense capabilities. Hopefully it will happen, but doubtful. The larger picture is that revenues have continued to rise despite the tax cuts, and they are up 6% in the first 4 months of this year. Democrats and media friends are complaining that the Trump administration still has no plans to balance the budget, but that will require addressing entitlements. And folks, there are no one is willing to step up to the plate. These are on autopilot. So all of the hoopla that you hear from the Democrats is really nothing but their political rhetoric and doesn't benefit the country as a whole. And the princess is raising her hand. No, you're not raising your hand. Well, I know she has an announcement later on. We're going to take a short information timeout. Folks, you're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. It's 10:22. Did you know?
Well, we all know men are supposed to buy flowers for their significant others on Valentine's Day. But can you guess what percentage of women order flowers for themselves for one reason or another?
Really?
I want to explore that comment earlier.
Why, you don't think that you should buy your wife flowers?
I think that's an interesting comment.
We'll talk about it after the break.
Guys like flowers. Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money Live, where you can find out about us at MaddenAdvisory.com.
You had to think about that for a second.
I had to think about it. But I got it right, even though I'm a blonde and a gator. Okay. You're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk, 1027. Did you know?
So did you know when a woman buys flowers on Valentine's Day, there's a 27% chance that she's actually buying them for herself?
Wow. Okay, I've got to get this out about Washington's birthday because, folks, this is disgusting, and it shows you how much the left has taken over. Park rangers... today, if they're leading a tour, and if you're expecting to hear a recounting of the battlefields that formed the Republic, guess what? Instead, you're going to hear stories about identity politics and climate change. That's right. In the 20s and early 30s, the National Park System was a minor agency and it was struggling for attention and already filled with what today are called environmental activists. These ideologues sought to obtain possession of the nation's historic sites, which would raise the Park Service's profile above that of a mere maintenance. Well, in April of 33, Roosevelt invited the Park Service's director, Horace Albright, for a Sunday drive along Skyline Drive. Now, Albright had already created a history division and set up historical monuments. So he took advantage of this time with the president to defeat objections from the War Department, which wanted to keep the battlefields under its purview. Mere months later, by executive order, the War Department transferred 57 historical sites and, more important, the authority to interpret the history of the sites to the Park Service. Albright saw this as a victory and a chance to enhance his career. Well, at that point in time, let's see, where do we go? A person by the name of Freeman Tilden wrote the manual that is now codified for the Park Services, and he stated that interpreting our heritage, Tilden plays down military history, the interpreter, and here's where they get us, in a monument or battlefield of war may thrill his hearer with the account, he writes, but these things are an appeal to the mind, to logic, imagination. Tilden instructs park rangers instead to use the appeal to the heart, advocating for a retelling of the history of how, in such tragic environments, human beings find paths to beauty and behavior. Longfellow House, as an example, has only recently been changed to Washington's headquarters. If you're looking, by the way, for where the Washington crossed the Delaware and landed at Trenton, which is of significance to Princess and her family and Michael and his. Her family built the boats and gave them to Washington to cross the Delaware, but you'll not find one monument there. Such a tragedy. Folks, I ran over, but I just had to get that out. We're going to take an information timeout. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV. We're going to bring you up to date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns. More importantly, lines are open, 855-765-1045. Call and call now, did you know?
Do you know the largest shift in gift giving? Not only during Valentine's Day, by the way, but during other holidays as well. That's occurring with younger generations.
Bitcoin exchange.
We'll talk about
or
it.
Or computer. Welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. It is 10:37. Again, lines are open, 855-765-1045. Did you know?
So out of the $27.4 billion, yes, with a B, expected to be spent this year for Valentine's Day, 40 to 45% of that is expected to be on experiential gifts. That's about almost $11 billion on concerts, trips, other things like that. Younger generations are taking your words, Hank, to heart, and time spent with their loved ones is infinitely more valuable to them than any asset on that balance sheet.
Now, I can't argue with that because I, you know, when we end the show, we talk about how important that is. Barry, I want you to hang on for just a second because this is important. This is for our police department and the Fallen Heroes Fund. And Josephine has an announcement that is very important.
Hi, folks. Good morning. I'm here to tell you about Sistine's Office Systems Highway to Help Heroes. It's on May 9th at 9 a.m. Hurry up and sign up because there are less than 54 slots left. I always put a T where I shouldn't. It's Sistines2H. Heroes.com is where you go to sign up. There will be a 29-mile drive beginning at Ring Power at 9 a.m. That's off of International Golf Parkway. From there, we hop up onto 95, cruise over the Main Street Bridge to Calford Chop House, where a full brunch will be awaiting. 100% of these proceeds will go to the FOP, which is the Fallen Officer and Welfare Relief Fund. All of the money goes straight to them. None of it goes to any place else. All of this is donated. Again, that's May 9th, 9 a.m. at Ring Power off of International Golf Parkway. The website, in case you didn't have your pen and paper ready, is SistinesH2HHeroes.com. Thank you so much. Hope to see you there. Hurry and sign up.
And I'll tell you, folks, if you want to just be on the side of the road watching, you're going to see a display of some of the most beautiful exotic sports cars going by. They will be in caravan, and it's fantastic to see. You'll see the big racing Ferraris, or you'll see Aston Martins. All the pretty cars, especially the most beautiful of the cars, the Lamborghinis.
The Porsches?
We use those more importantly to transport our parts when we need them. That was tacky. I shouldn't say that because I'm going to really tickle some Porsche people. McLaren's will be there, Ferrari's will be there. It's an incredible sight to see all at one time.
Any Bugattis?
Bugattis? I don't think we'll. No.
No F-16s.
No. But although sometimes, listen, a lot of these people have those in their collections.
Oh, probably.
You'd be amazed at how many collections there are, 35 to 60 cars in this general area. Beautiful.
Let me see some old school.
Beautiful. Okay, Barry, Early Social Security.
Yeah, hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
Here's the deal. Now, I've always heard that your Social Security benefits grows 8% for every year that you delay taking it. And maybe that's wrong because, and I'm looking at my benefits page on the SSA website right now. And if I do it at 62, and that's in about 14 months, I would get 1169. And if I wait till 66 years and 10 months, it would be 1640. And I did the math on that. That's only about a 7% growth rate increase per year. But anyway, now that calculation is based on me earning the same amount of money that I earned last year. So my question is, I'm probably not going to do that because I'm kind of easing myself into retirement from real estate, and most of my income is unearned income. So if I don't have that earned income, let's say starting at 62,
it's going to hurt.
Yeah. How much is that going to grow? I mean, am I better off just taking I don't need the money. Am I better off just taking the benefit and investing it and letting it increase until 66 years until whatever time I decide to start taking it out?
Okay. Both Mike and Corey Odamas are just chomping at the bit, so I'm going to shut up, and whoever speaks first got it.
Barry... With taking Social Security early, the reason it doesn't add up, first of all, to kind of address the unasked question, the reason it doesn't add up to an 8% difference, you're right about the 8%, but it's after you reach your full retirement age. So you 70. Said,
okay, yeah. Yep.
So that's right. That's where you get the 8%.
Okay. All right.
If you take it early, it's a different calculation. For the first 36 months, it's... I think five twelfths of
it's a
benefit
calculation.
Is lost, yeah. And then after that, it's a little bit less that's lost. It's I'd have to go double check on what exactly those figures are, but it's not that 8%. So that's why the difference there.
Corey, had a comment that you want to make in follow up.
Well, I'm waiting for Mike to jump through because I have a very different take on Social Security and taking it early. So go ahead, Mike. Continue.
Well, as far as doing Social Security early. Is there a particular reason that you would want to take it early, or are you enjoying what you're doing currently?
Yeah, he told us.
Yeah.
His unearned income is going to pull down.
It's going to pull him down.
So how many years of work history do you have, first of all, to see how bad that would hurt?
Well, it's your top 5 years.
No, it's more than that.
No, it's your top 35.
35. Oh, yeah. Me and Mike did a lot of work on this this week. So it's very good that you asked this question, Barry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my first Social Security payment was in 1974. So it goes back quite a few years.
Yeah, you got more than 35 years.
A couple years.
They're going to take your highest 35. So whether or not you take it this next year might not necessarily impact you since you have a longer work history, unless what you make next year will replace
matters.
One of the early years, but not enough to bring it up.
And it drags it down. Because then there's a lot of things called bend points and other things that plays into all this. Do you believe that your income is going to drop off, pretty significantly next year? It sounds like it is.
Yeah, probably so. My taxable income for last year was only about $17,300.
Oh, nice.
And it will definitely be less than that. But how much less is because, I do real estate. Right now, I manage rental properties, and that's probably going to pay me about $12,000 this year. If I pick up a sale or two, then that could be another $5,000 or $6,000. So it's hard to say. But I'm not actively pursuing any new business. I'm just taking, like, if I get a referral from an old customer or something.
You're winding down pretty much is what it sounds like.
Okay, exactly. Corey, you had some important thoughts to tie into.
Yeah, so what I always think about with Social Security is the question that you had around investing it, right? Right. You know, at the end of the day, the way I look at it is, and I've talked to so many people, well, it might not be there in 10, 15 years and, you know, take my benefit now. The way I always look at it is having positive cash flow, is to me a promising thing. You can always put it into savings and invest it. I mean, at the end of the day, if you can average 7 to 9%, you're basically doing what the government was going to do for you. And it also gives you a little bit of some extra cash flow coming in. Peace of mind is beautiful with it. And then again, you know, if you don't need it, you sock it away. And if you wanted to take an extra trip or two, thinking that you couldn't do it, now you can. So there's no right or wrong answer. It's just a matter of how do you want to use it, and would extra cash flow be a good thing? And if it's not, and you can survive on just waiting, then, you know, just wait.
Yep.
You know, the other thing you can do, Barry, is, and I've done this, is you have the time value of money. So you have to look at how much my benefit would increase monthly once I hit that full retirement age, and then see how long, and then in turn, if I take it now, how much would I receive? Mm-hmm. And then how long does it take your benefit to grow to erase that deficit that was created? And you're generally going to find it's in your mid to late 70s.
Yeah.
And if you wait from your full retirement to age 70, it really pushes it up. So you've got to look at the time value of money and the difference in what the benefits can provide for you. Does that help you? Or confuse you?
Confuse me a little bit, but I think I get the general drift. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think the biggest thing, Barry, is at the end of the day, it's a personal decision, and there's no right or wrong answer. But if you want to take a look at it more deeply, give us a call, 904-296-1127, and we'll set up a meeting and walk you through it.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, my biggest concern was just the fact that, you know, my earned income is going to go way down, and so how much more. You know, like I say, right now it says the difference of about $500 a month if I wait until full retirement. But if I don't earn that, you know, have that income, that is going to be less, I'm assuming, right?
We understand, but I need to move on to another caller who has another Social Security. Is that okay?
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
Yep, sure thing.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay. Randy, I want to get your question set up, then I have to take a short break. Is that okay?
That'd be great.
Okay, so your question is...
Go ahead. First off, when I turn 62, I'm currently almost 59. When I turn 62, my youngest child will be 10 years old. If I retire at that point, will I be able to draw my Social Security and draw a portion of Social Security for my child, who will not be 18 until right before I turn 70?
Okay, we're going to put you on hold, and when we get back, we'll address that question. All righty? Folks, you're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk Radio. It is 10:49. Did you know?
Valentine's Day isn't only for humans. Can you guess what percentage of people say they're also getting a gift for their pets?
Oh, my gosh. Like 75%.
Yeah. We'll talk about it after the break.
Jacksonville, you're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Smart Money, time is 10:53. Did you know?
So 27% of people say they're also planning on giving a gift to their pets for Valentine's Day. In 2020, that's an expected $1.7 billion to be spent on pets versus only $450 million in 2010.
Those pet boas get cute little bunnies.
That's right.
Okay, let's get right into it. I know you guys did some research on this, and you had an answer that surprised a couple of us here. Go for it, Mike.
Randy, you still there?
Randy.
Oh, there we go.
Yes, I'm here.
There we go.
Okay.
So the answer to your question, if you are on Social Security, your child is under the age of 18, or if they are over 18 but disabled or a full-time student for a short period of time, then yes, they can claim on your record. Now, what their benefit looks like, I wasn't able to pull that immediately, but they will be able to qualify for a Social Security benefit on your record, yes.
Okay, and then my question is, with, you know, the fact that if I don't start drawing that at 62, if I wait to my normal retirement age of 70, I'll be giving up that amount of money, whatever amount it is that I could draw. So that would make the years I would have to live, if I claimed it at normal retirement age, even longer to make up for that money that I would be able to draw. So it, in my instance, would it be better to retire at 62 if from a purely Social Security standpoint? I have a defined benefit pension plan that I can take monthly or I can take lump sum. I was hoping if the Social Security was enough, then I would put my lump sum.
Randy, quick question. We're running out of time. Is that an integrated plan? In other words, will the benefit decrease when you start receiving Social Security?
No.
Okay.
It's a defined benefit plan. It's a single employer pension plan through a union here in town.
Now, that will count towards your earnings test since you're going to be before full retirement age. If you make over a certain amount of money each year, they basically force you to delay taking some of your Social Security till later. So you'll only get part of the benefit.
If I take it in a lump sum and deposit it in an investment account and draw none of it, will it still count as income?
No.
Yeah, not unless you withdraw out of it. If you take money out of a retirement plan, that's always going to be counted as income.
Yeah, you've got to roll it over to an IRA. And if you don't do that, then you're going to get hit with income for that year.
So if I'm over 59 and a half, can I draw out of my 401k without that counting as income, or is that income
also? It will always be income if you pull money out of a retirement account.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, but you got to be careful because that is I'm trying to think of the name.
He said older than 59 and a half.
No, I understand that, Mike, but it's not earned income. And earned income is where your Social Security kicks in.
Mm-mm. Social Security counts provisional income, which is half of Social Security, plus all earned income, plus all investment income, plus any non-taxable income.
Yeah, we just looked at this cool. week.
Anything that I put in my Roth 401k is not taxable, though. Is that correct?
Roth, yes. Roth would not be taxable as long as you've had it for 5 years, at least, and you're older than 59 and a half.
But if you have tax-exempt income, that does count as far as whether your Social Security is taxable. You've got some really complex rules.
Social Security's fun. what was that, Randy? I missed what you said there just a second ago.
Currently, I'm not over 59 and a half, but I will, at that point. And I will have had the Roth for more than 5 years.
Okay. Yep, then at that point,
all right, well, thank you very much for
you'll have
time.
The return of principal and everything, so that would not, the Roth would not count as income now.
Okay. I sure hope we answered your question for you, Randy. Robert, I'm going to try to get your question set up, and then we're going to have to break. Okay?
Sure.
All right, so your question is?
Well,
you got about 30 seconds.
Okay, it's one of these deals you get into when you're retired. I was in sales for, 40 years or so, and I always tried not to judge people, with their intelligence. And I rode my bicycle like three doors down.
Okay, so you got a story about people that have done unusual things in retirement, right?
No, I am retired. I keep a bicycle on my front porch that I just use like local.
Okay.
And the woman down the, like three doors down, I went down to see her, rode the bicycle over, talked to her for a while, and then absentmindedly walked back and forgot the bicycle.
Okay.
So 30 minutes later, I go back and I said, I think somebody stole my bike. Oh, I put it out in the street for you.
Okay. Robert, we're going to have to listen. We got to take a break.
Hank, I understand. It's not really the financial, but my God, the levels of stupidity of people, this one takes the cake. I never in my life saw anybody that stupid.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Listen, folks, We're going to take an information timeout. You're listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Excuse me. We'll bring you up-to-date Fox National News local weather traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. And then we're back to you and your calls. And, yes, lines are open, 855-765-1045. As the beautiful Mystic Mink says, did you know?
So with over 1 billion Valentine's Day cards expected to be given this year, do you know the oldest surviving Valentine?
Cupid.
Hey.
I'm thinking Leroy's wife. You know, Leroy.
Leroy Jenkins?
No.
Well, I will tell you what the oldest one surviving is after the break.
This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Local experts answering your questions. Call 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Now, Smart Money on 104.5 WOKV. Here's your host, Hank Madden, Mike Ellis, and Corey Schrader.
Jacksonville, welcome back to Smart Money Live. Hour two on this beautiful day after, I sort of say Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day. Well, I'm very thankful that we had Valentine's so that I could pay special attention, which I do every day, but special for my princess bride, the Mystic Minx. Anyway, welcome back. Lines are open, 855-765-1045. As the beautiful Mystic Minx will tell you, call and call now. That's 855-765-1045. This is 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville News and Talk, 1008. Did you know?
So the oldest surviving Valentine was sent in 1415 by Charles, Duke of Orleans. He sent a poem to his wife while imprisoned at the London Tower after his capture during the Battle of Agincourt. It's on display currently today still in the London Museum. How about that for an everlasting love note?
Well, that goes past, I guess. I was trying to think of Kilroy was here.
80 Valentines together?
He was all over the place. This is important, huh? What is it?
Mom was showing me a Facebook post about a couple that's been together for 80 Valentine's days.
Wow. God bless them.
Oldest Valentine.
Perhaps oldest living Valentine.
That's a different interpretation, but I'll take it.
Yeah. You know, those are good questions about Social Security. I tell you, it's a very, very complex field. Generally, when I look at it, I look at it from a monetary side and then from a social side. How much money will I get if I take it? How much will I lose if I'm still going to be working? Which I tell you today, more and more Americans after 62, when they would normally be eligible to pick it up, if they do, they're going to get in trouble and lose money because they're earning past the 14,000.
Yeah, and then it kicks up to 85% higher than that.
Yeah,
at 45.
So you got to be careful. Okay, let's get to Larry on how to handle an injury. Larry, what's up, buddy?
Well, my missus was in a car accident about 4 years ago, and we recently got a settlement. She's not able to work now because of the accident, and we're trying to figure out what's the best place to invest the money.
Okay, great question. How much are we talking about?
About $49,000.
Okay. Do you have a lot of credit card debt?
No.
Do you have any debt?
Just a mortgage.
How much is left on the mortgage?
70.
And what is the annual percentage rate?
4.
Okay, it's pretty low.
You're not going to be able to deduct it from your taxes. So normally the benefit we would get there, is it a 30 or 15?
30.
Okay, so
it might be almost paid off, too.
Yeah. And you're probably
so your interest is
80% principal.
Yeah.
I would. What do you have for a cash reserve?
Quite a bit.
Define quite a bit. How much?
Well, I got $10,000 in my checking account.
All right.
And probably $11,000 in an IRA.
Okay, that's IRA, not cash reserve.
It could be.
Okay.
That's an expensive one.
It's a money market. $11,000 in a money market.
I think he's from Boston.
And that's in your IRA?
No. Oh, yes.
Okay, so he's got a bank IRA.
Maybe.
Well, yeah. Maybe.
I mean,
I would probably.
Yeah,
how old are you?
Well, this is my missus. She's 60.
Okay.
Okay.
60. That's the total investable assets of about 70,000. Most of it in cash.
All right, guys, have at it.
Yeah, I'll jump on the investment side of it. So the way that it's a peace of mind versus an investment question. You know, depending on what kind of investor you are and what you're trying to shoot for and what the money really represents for you down the road, you know, if you're going to supplement income or if you're just going to use it for trips and travels, I mean, you could probably invest it and probably make above and beyond what you would make on the 4% that you're paying on the real estate. So it's one of those things where, do you have an itch to pay off the mortgage?
No.
Nah, just
no, cut
right around. Okay. Yeah, a lot of people like to pay it off.
Well, we don't have that many write-offs.
Yeah. I mean,
no.
It's an interesting.
Do you see any major travel plans or needs for home improvements, a new car within the next 5 years?
Yeah.
No, we just went through the house. We just totally remodeled the house.
Okay.
All right.
This is what's left after that.
Okay, how about major trips?
Nothing planned.
Okay, the reason I'm saying that, what we're looking for is kind of a timeline for the goal. 5 years or less, your biggest risk that you're going to face if you invest is called market risk. That's the going up and down. So we want to avoid any investments that would fall within that time period for your goal. So that pretty much limits you to CDs, money markets, and T-bills. On the other hand, if the timeline for that is greater than 5 years, then that definition of risk is going to change from market to purchasing power. Will my goods or my dollars buy the same goods and services not only today but 5, 10, 15, and so on? The safest investments that you had for 5 years become the riskiest. You're guaranteed to lose money because of taxes and inflation. Now we're going to turn to stocks and real estate. Maybe throw perhaps some bonds in there.
Is fixed rate index any good?
Say what?
Oh, did you just say fixed rate indexed?
Yeah.
You're talking about annuities. Somebody's trying to sell you an annuity. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You said yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
So Stan will tell you, Stan the annuity man, we have him on the show periodically, and he'll tell you the purpose behind a fixed index annuity is basically to compete against CDs. So why would you lock up your money like that if you could want to do that? Just go get a CD.
Okay.
And here's something else. Larry, if I told you, here's an investment that I have, we're going to use to compare what your return will be against the S&P 500. By the way, we're going to keep the dividend, which is 25% of the yield. So if the S&P had been averaging 10%, now what you're looking at that you're eligible to participate in is 7.5. And oh, of that 7.5, you're only going to get about 60% of it. So you're looking at the best around a little over 4%. Oh, there's one other caveat. The value for that investment will only be available each anniversary day. So in other words, one day a year, you will get to lock in the value of that. Would you want to buy that? Oh, and it's got a very high sales charge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think overall, if you don't have any short-term needs and you have plenty of cash available, you could definitely look at something that's more risk-driven, you know, beyond the five to 10-year number. Have you ever invested in your traditional investments like stocks, bonds, real estate, anything like that before?
I had an IRA going way back to when Lynch was doing Puritan Magellan.
Oh, yeah.
Needle-in.
Yeah. Oh, Needle-in. I know all about Fido's Puritan and Magellan.
Boy, that is going back.
Yeah, it's going back to the 70s. So.
We've just gone to Papyrus, I think, and play tablets.
Away from the abacus.
Well, I'm in my 70s, you know, and I started real young.
You know, here's a case. I would look for a good balanced fund.
That's what I was thinking, too. You don't have to overthink this.
Or you could buy a separate ETF for the S&P and a separate ETF for a flexible rate bond fund.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, you can keep your costs extremely low on that investment. And you know, for the most part, and then we can probably do a whole show on active versus passive, but the concept of what you're trying to pull off, you know, you're just trying to figure out how much risk you want to take on. And, you know, honestly, a 50-50 mix of either one of those ETFs, an S&P and, you know, another bond ETF, you could probably get the job done very easily.
What would be some two good ones off the top of your head?
We don't need the income.
What's that?
We don't need the income. Last year I cleared over $101,000.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to balance the risk or volatility for you.
Here's another thought.
Basically, your money.
They could always do, you know, a robo offering.
Oh, yeah. No, you could absolutely just go and...
Because then they're going to get a question about the risk their level, their risk level they're comfortable taking.
Yeah, and they have enough to be covering the minimum, so...
So they could use Schwab's got them, Betterment... Merrill, a whole bunch of different companies have them, just a robo investing platform. It'll use ETFs, so low cost. That'll be a good way to give them at least a decent asset allocation with that. I think he said it's about $49,000.
Yeah.
Go to Schwab's website, and you can pick their robo investing up. Well, they'll create a portfolio for you. Or if you want to do it a simpler way, you just buy an S&P index. You can make it 60%, 70% S&P, 30% a floating bond rate.
Yeah, so
whatever,
basically,
you know, floats your boat.
$35,000 in an S&P and $15,000 in a bond fund. And you could also, you know, do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
Does that help you?
Yeah, it sure does.
Great.
Perfect.
Well, listen.
Great question.
Give us a call. Let us know how you come out on it later. Love to hear from you.
You know, does Hank do anything on those kind of matters?
What's that?
Oh, he's asking if we manage money, which, of course, we do. We do have regular day jobs.
Yeah,
I understand that, but I'm comfortable with the fact that you guys are Christians and you're also fiduciaries.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know what
Bob's. Yes, I'm very protective of Josephine and her assets, and those are her assets, so I'm even more protective of those.
Yeah, so he's asking if you manage money.
Yes, I do, and I'm telling you, I'm more protective, but the actual decision... we have a firm here that allows us a lot of flexibility. We as a firm will manage your money and do.
Yeah.
We can.
Well, I think one of these days you need to make an appointment.
Sure.
And take them down and talk with you folks.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable with the fact that you guys are Christians. But we're a Assembly of God Pentecostal, and we believe in management and God's. In God's way, you know?
Super. I'm so glad. More Christians, Larry, have got to step up to the plate. Because what we're looking at is a very dim forecast. If socialists take hold, at least 60%, I saw in a survey, are secular or atheist. So, I mean, that's scary. That is very, very scary. You want someone without any moral compass? Well, look at Congress. Listen, we got to take a time out. God bless. And give us a call and let us know how you do.
Okay, thank you. No, I'm going to call and let you guys handle it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
904-296-1127.
Oh.
Isn't that sweet?
That
you like
teamwork.
That? That was pretty cool.
What can I say? Okay, guys.
High five.
It is 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. By the way, lines are open, 855-765-1045. Call and call now, as the beautiful Mystic Minx will tell you to do. Yes, she's there bouncing up and down and batting. It's 1122, did you know?
So although the actual origin is uncertain, do you know the event that's most often attributed for starting Valentine's Day by historians and scholars?
Guilt.
No, not guilt.
No, I would say it had to be something triggered by the Florida Gators. In
no.
The
they were trying to get rid of a lot of flowers.
Well, we'll get to it after the break.
Jacksonville, welcome back to the state of confusion. What is our tax code?
Oh, Lord.
Lord, I'm telling you, there's more stuff that pops out of there. You guys, you may think your question is dumb and stupid, and I don't want to call it in. I promise you, it isn't.
Well,
it triggers so much other research on our end, and it helps so many other people.
It's
so let us know. Hey, folks, welcome back. You're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk, 1126. Did you know?
So Valentine's Day is believed to have originated in honor of St. Valentine, specifically the one that lived around 270 A.D. There were many St. Valentines. During Roman Emperor Claudius II's reign, Emperor Claudius decided that single men made better soldiers than married ones, and he outlawed marriage. And Valentine defied that order and married people in secret. Eventually, he was found out and put to death, and later that became holiday.
Wait, hold on.
Death?
What, Halloween?
The death became the holiday.
Okay.
He was executed on February 14th.
All right. I want to pick up David. David, we're running close on time, so let's be quick.
All right, quick question for you. So I refinanced my current wife's home from her and her ex, and we did a refi with a deed change. Would any of that apply to claiming on the taxes being a refinance?
Ooh, is it a married? Primary?
Yeah, it's primary.
Okay.
And you guys are married at this point?
We are married at this point.
Okay. Yeah, makes it much easier.
Yeah, specifically.
Yeah. All right, and his name is, the purpose of doing that was, and refinancing, was to get his name off the deed.
Correct.
All right. Well, first off, can you get over $25,000 in itemized deductions?
We are close. I was going to go standardized, but if we need to go itemized, I can.
Okay, well, you're going to have to get substantially over $25,000 to make it worthwhile. And you're going to have to figure what your tax computations would be, too. If you say it's close, you may qualify, but so what? You can't really.
You can't deduct it.
So that. Did you guys pull any money out when you refinanced, or was it just a straight refinance?
No, it was a straight refinance. We left all the equity in the house.
Okay. That's easy then.
Yeah. But here's something Mike brought up that other listeners might be interested in.
Yeah, the reason I asked that question about if you pulled any money out, so home equity lines and cash out refinances received new treatment under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the tax cuts in 2017. If you use any money gained from financing on a house, if it's not put back into the house, the interest is not deductible.
Yeah, so like if you took out a personal loan basically with the equity and paid off all your credit cards, you couldn't use that to actually deduct on your taxes. But
or bought a vehicle or anything.
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
So if I go standardized, because my itemizer would be really close, if I go standard, I wouldn't have to be concerned with any of the interest anyway.
No, it wouldn't matter at that point.
Are you doing your own taxes, or do you got a CPA?
I have a CPA. I was going to do my own before I got married. We just filed one W-2 and walked away from it.
Yeah.
But now that there's all kinds of other stuff involved, we'll let someone else take care of it.
Yeah, smart man.
See what kind of magic they're working.
I'm telling you, that's smart. I love having a life, you know.
The voice of reason.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, exactly. Listen, David, they're telling me I got to go.
Great question.
Great question. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And Gary's got some comments on something dear to my heart, communism, socialism. So hang tight, Gary. Folks, we're going to take an information timeout, that's right, and bring you up-to-date Fox National News, local weather, traffic patterns for the Jacksonville area. Then we're back to you and your questions and Gary's. So get them lined up. Call and call now, 855-765-1045. And the Mystic Minx will be very happy if you do. Did you know?
So chocolates reigns supreme in Valentine's Day gifts, but do you know who first packaged the treat specifically for that special day?
Hershey's.
Nope.
No.
I just made that up. Snickers?
No.
Not the Mars Candy Company either.
Spice.
We'll get back to it after the break.
Listening to News 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk. Yes, them thar lines be open. 855-765-104.
Thank you, Captain Jack.
Hey, I'm a gator. I'm a blonde. I'm a southerner. I can say things like that. Damn Yankees can't. That's 855-765-1045. So call and call now. And by the way, you can find out more about us if you go to maddenadvisory.com, our website. There's all kind of good stuffs in there. I may need some pictures. No, I think you said there were. Might be. Or you can email your questions to us there or smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com.
That's the one.
There we go.
And email your questions to us. Did you know?
So the first Valentine's Day chocolate boxes were made by Richard Cadbury in the 1860s.
Ooh. Admiral Cadbury.
Yep. He marketed the boxes as reusable for storing mementos, and actually Victorian-era chocolate boxes can still be found as family heirlooms and very expensive collector's pieces today.
I bet they would be. Okay. Gary, we've got somebody right behind you, Ralph, with a really great question. So communism, socialism, I was willing to put my life on the line for that. And it's unfortunately not many of the millennials today are willing to stand up and fight for the principles of America. So give me your thoughts.
Well, just to make a quick comment on what you just said, a lot of people died under the Iron Fist.
Oh, we're losing him.
You're cutting out, Gary.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry. A lot of people died under the iron fist of communism. So that's something the millennials should take a quick peek at. But real quick, I've done my homework, a lot of it, you know, research Harvard professors. And
okay, go ahead.
About Lenin. You know, if he was to take a peek at the socialism nowadays, he'd have them like dancing monkeys into the ditch like Stalin had him shot. But real quick, obviously there's a better question behind me. Nancy Pelosi and the deep staters that obviously failed in this coup attempt, while they still have some semblance of power in Congress, they really ought to try to divert as much money into prison reform and upgrading the qualities of the can, because they're fixing to go there, and instead of sleeping on silk sheets and all that, they're going to hear a lot of this in the middle of the night.
Okay.
And ain't going to like it.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Gary. Ralph, you're a vet. Which wars? Yo, Ralph. Ralph, are you there?
Nope. Huh.
I guess Ralph had to depart us. Well, Ralph, if we miss you, son, that's okay. you can come back and we'll still move you right into the line, I promise you. We're getting Jay lined up with his question, and then as soon as we have him hot, we'll go forward. Prince has mentioned that there is an auto club that is doing a drive to raise money for the Heroes, Fallen Heroes Fund for the Jacksonville Police Department. You can find out more about that if you go, what is their website, Princess? Hang on, I'll get you up. Go ahead. Joby?
She's got her headset on.
She's got her headset, okay.
I think she said it was Sassine's H2H. Heroes.com.
Okay, great.
That sounds
familiar. It's something you would really want to hear and see. Okay? Let's see. I think...
Yep. Looks like Jay's up.
Jay's ready to go.
Okay. Here we go. Ralph, hang tight, buddy. Jay.
Hey.
How you doing, bud? What's up?
I'm doing well. I hope you are.
Yes, sir.
My question, my wife came to me. I'm 75. And I filed and got my Social Security when I was 65. She's now telling me that she heard, and you know how that goes, that you can redo at my age or at least to the equivalent of 70, redo and get an increase in the amount that you can get because you can refile at 70.
You got a big pocketbook?
No.
All right, Mike, Corey, you tell him why.
So she's right, you can, but you have to pay back every penny of benefit that you've received.
Oh, God.
No biggie.
That's not exactly a plus, is it?
No.
No.
That might totally defeat the purpose of what you're trying to get.
I think so. That doesn't even make a lot of sense.
Well, here's what's important. Here's what's important, Jay. You tell your wife, my darling, you are right 100%, and I love you so much for looking out for us, but I think that it would be a little on the costly side.
I would use however instead of but.
However.
Personally.
Yeah, that's, look, I never said the TAC was my middle name. Jay, did we help you on that?
You certainly did. I'm going back and watch television.
God bless you. Go for it. Okay.
Thanks.
Take care. Let's, Ralph Mandarin, your VA benefits.
Yes. Well, I read an article in the Retired Military Officers magazine, and it talked about things to deduct. It dealt a little bit with states that had state income tax, and then it said, if you're itemizing, don't forget to itemize, don't forget to include your VA benefits. And I never heard of that. Is that true? Can I deduct those benefits?
I think they're talking about medical deduction.
Yeah, that would have to be medical deduction. I am a disabled vet, and no, I don't get to deduct my income.
I was confused. I sent them a note, too, and asked them what they were talking about, but I haven't got an answer back yet.
Yeah, I'm with Michael. If you've got medical expenses related to VA, then I would tell you, okay, that would qualify as any of them would.
Right.
So, but yeah, I wish I had better news for you. What branch were you?
I was in the Army, flew helicopters in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, Rotorhead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who did you fly with?
And proud of it.
Yes, sir. You listen, I have many, many an hours. My first tour in a Loach and my second tour with my fanny glued to the seat of a H model doing insertions. So
sitting on your flag jacket, right?
Yeah. I tell you, we really did that in the Loach. We were up in I Corps then during 67, 68 with 3rd Marines. And you sat on your chicken vest there, bud.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I was there in 68 and then again in 70 and 71.
So. Yeah. Who were you with?
The Maracal Division, the second tour. First time was the first aviation.
Okay.
Wow. We just lost him.
Yeah, somebody didn't like you. Did you do
Scotty,
that, Scotty?
Come on.
What?
Oh, we picked up another caller.
Ah,
that's crazy. Okay. Maybe that, all right. I don't know.
Apparently now Dean's on the line.
Well, Dean, I don't know how you did it. Buddy, you're up. The deep state.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I had a question and a comment. The deep state, I mean, as a retired naval officer and understanding that you serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States, what do these people like Comey and other people in the Lieutenant Colonel don't understand that you serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States? And so if President Trump doesn't want them, goodbye. You know, I mean, what's so hard? I mean, we say the millennials don't understand the Constitution. I mean, I don't think people serving in Washington understand, you know, that the servants in the executive branch of the government serve at the pleasure of the President of the United States of America. And I had a question for Hank. What do you think of Bloomberg's candidacy and now his report that Phil the Beast is going to be his running mate? I mean, do you think he's a formidable candidate?
You know something, we were laughing about that. If I were him, I'd be awful careful. Let's just say that Bloomberg won and Hillary is the VP. His life is not worth a plug nickel after 6 months. He's just mysteriously going to die, and then Hillary becomes president.
Jeez.
Well, folks that I served with in the military, I mean, you know, they had dealings with Hillary Clinton, and she's just a nasty woman. Now, I mean, just, you know, Bill was a good old boy, and, you know, Bill, you know, didn't inhale and all the things that he didn't do. But Hillary,
yeah, he hated the military, though.
Yeah,
both of them
do. Yeah, she was just nasty to the VX-1, the pilots that flew the white caps.
Yeah,
I knew someone I served with. His husband was a pilot for that squadron, and she was just nasty toward the military.
Yeah. Well, listen, Dean, thank you for your comments and questions. I really agree with you, and thank you for your service, one vet to another.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. God bless. Let me see where's my stupid little arrow? I hate these arrow things. Let's get him up. Okay. Justin. Dadgummit. Justin, let's set the question up and have to take a short break. That way we'll give you more time.
Basically in my late 30s, been struggling for the past 12 years or so financially, finally back on my feet, to where I can rub a few pennies together after I pay my bills. Trying to figure out what I got to do to get started with retirement.
Great. Well, listen, hang tight. We're going to pick you up on the other side. This is a short one, okay? Folks, you're listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. It's 11:47. Did you know?
So the best love comes from medicine or something like that.
What?
But you know what? Iconic Valentine's Day candy was originally developed for medicinal reasons.
Candy cigarette.
Nope.
Cough drops.
Ooh, that's close. A good one.
Very close. We'll talk about it after the break.
Of course. Yo, that'd be it. Yo, Jacksonville. Welcome back to Smart Money. You are listening to 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. And it is, 11:51? No, 52. Did you know?
So the conversation heart was first produced as a lozenge to help soothe sore throats in 1847.
I was right.
Yep, pretty darn close. That's what I said. In 1847, Oliver Chase invented the lozenge cutter and started the New England Confectionery Company, or Necco, he found that the medicine made a better candy than medicine.
Yeah, Necco wafers.
And that, yep, exactly right. And then the message would later be printed on the Necco wafers in 1866.
I love those things.
And then again in 1902 is
flat
when
disc, right?
Yeah, yep. And then in 1902 is when the Valentine's Day version was specifically released as a heart shape.
Have they stopped making those?
No, they still make the Necco wafers.
I always thought of them as like communion candies.
I see how you could get Dad got my little arrow. That thing went again.
How about that for American made candy? 1847.
That's good. Let me get to Justin. Hey, Justin, you there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you finally got on your feet. You're in your late 30s, and you need to get started for retirement. Are you self-employed, or do you work as a W-2 for someone else?
I work as a W-2 for somebody else.
Okay. All right.
Perfect.
The ball's in the air. Who's going to bat it?
Hey, Justin, do they offer a retirement plan that you can partake in?
401k.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Do they do a match or anything like that as well?
I believe they do 5%.
Oh, that's okay. Pretty good.
That's a good. Yeah, that's a pretty good match. Because they're only required to, do
three.
Well, it depends.
Yeah. Okay.
3 to 4.
Are you maxing out their 5%? Are you at least matching what they're willing to match?
Yes.
Okay. Are you able to do more than that?
Probably. Yeah. I was eventually thinking about working my way up past that.
Okay.
What is preventing you from doing that now?
Really just the past 10 or so years that I've been struggling, just making sure that I got enough.
Well, and then a more important question before we talk about, hey, should I increase my contributions? Do you already have an emergency savings set up?
As of now, no.
Okay. I would focus on that before I focus on increasing my contributions. Because what happens if car breaks down tomorrow and at the same time you got, you know, refrigerator, AC, something like that fails, you got to replace it. Where's that coming from? Are we going to have to take an early withdrawal from a retirement account, which will be heavily penalized? So focus on the emergency savings. And then
usually if you can save up about 6 months, that's usually a good buffer, which can be challenging.
I hate using those numbers.
I know.
Well, it's a general
Everyone's
rule
different.
Of thumb.
Everyone's different. I mean, some people need three.
I don't even like 3 or 6. That's a bunch of Kentucky Road Apple.
When we sit down for our appointments, Justin, what we always do when we're determining the size of the emergency savings that you need is we look at specific cash requirements. So if something happened to the car, how much is your deductible? If something happened to you medically, how much is your out-of-pocket going to be? Your max out-of-pocket. And we build your emergency savings figure based on all of those.
And there are several more in there.
Yeah, those, just two. There's many more than that.
and it can be sometimes hard to save up an emergency fund and save for retirement and try to make all the bills work. I mean, at some point you got to kind of throw your hands up and say, okay, what gives? But at least having some level of savings, I think, is important. You figure out what you feel is good based off of your line of work and, you know, if you don't mind me asking, what kind of work do you do?
In the communications field, working with fiber optics.
Okay, so yeah, pretty stable industry, right? I mean,
it's taken off.
Yeah, so in that sense, your volatility, what we would say your risk of seeing issues with your job is probably pretty low, so you probably don't need a huge amount of savings. But
here, I've got an idea. Here's something. Want to throw something at me, maybe.
Ooh, okay.
Not being an advocate of the Roth generally, have you bought a home yet?
Matter of fact, we just bought a home last year.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. All right. Great. You can, even still, you can set up a Roth. The money you put in it will grow tax-free. But there's a provision that most people forget about. At any time, you can pull out the contribution without having to pay a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't need to, then it's sitting there accumulating. On the other hand, if you do need it, then you can get to it. But you've also dedicated funds specifically for retirement. I generally don't like rating retirement accounts, but this is a way where you can get tax-free growth on your investment and still have access to the principal should you need it.
Almost like two birds with one stone.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, my take on it is meet the company match, be able to do a Roth contribution if you can to additionally have that savings. But
you got to make sure you qualify, too.
Well, yeah, if your income is too high.
That's why he said why you can.
Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, what it comes down to, and this is the way I look at it, is what does your budget tell you you can do? Yeah, what is – and you may find out if you run an analysis to say how much I may need – 40 years down the road, okay, if I save X now, I can grow it to that amount by, you know, 40 years from now.
We've got retirement calculators at our website. Sure,
absolutely. And we can easily help you walk through that. So, but it's all about the budget and how much you can afford. Because I'm sure, and I'm feeling a sense, is you probably feel a little timid about trying to put money as much away because now you finally got back on your feet. So you want to have some stability before you just kind of take it out of the monthly income.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really like my idea.
I don't. I do too.
It's a good one.
Really?
I mean, it's a good idea.
not, Justin, did we help you, good buddy?
Multiple.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Okay, go to our website. And okay. You will, you got some calculators there that will help you compute your need. Okay.
What's that, website?
They're fussing at me. I got to go. I can't believe we just blew through 2 hours. Right, yeah. Hey, folks, thank you for, God bless you for being here. Your calls. If nobody said they cared about you today, know that Mike, Corey Odamas, the beautiful Mystic Minx, and I certainly do. Always remember this. The most important investment that you're ever going to make is that special time that you're going to spend with your friends and families. It'll never be on any asset balance sheet that you ever have. Our American fighting men and women, your families, our warriors, you protect us. You give a sacrifice or willing sacrifice of your life, a free country that we can live in, not dominated and controlled by some socialist or communist government. And our first responders, that's our police officers, our highway patrol, our firemen, our EMTs, God bless you, your families. You give us a safe city. You have our back covered. And you do so at the potential sacrifice of your lives. Thank you for all of you and what you do. And this day is a very special day. That's right. Christ Jesus created this day just for you and your families. Father, stand tall by getting on your knees, kneeling in prayer, and teach your children how to do it. They're never going to find that from outside of the family. I really doubt that some churches even teach them that. I'm just so disgusted with how we have taken Christ out of our church. But anyway, and you stand tall for our flag. Always pay homage to the flag. That flag is the history of America and her bloodied sacrifices to give us the free nation and free world that she tries to create. Folks, we'll be with you next week. Bye-bye.